The Roundabout Theater Company in New York City, the largest not-for-profit theater company in America, is celebrating its 50th anniversary season. This week, we're highlighting some of their work. We spoke with Artistic Director Todd Hames and welcomed actor Reed Birney to the show. Those interviews are available online at wamc.org/roundtable. Early next year, Roundabout will open a revival of She Loves Me. With a book by Joe Masteroff, lyrics by Sheldon Harnick, and music by Jerry Bach, She Loves Me is an adaptation of the Hungarian play Parfumery. The films The Shop Around the Corner and You've Got Mail used the same source material as this musical, which was first produced on Broadway in 1963. In 1993, She Loves Me was the first musical Roundabout ever produced. It was directed by Scott Ellis, earned a Tony Award for Boyd Gaines, and a Drama Desk Award for Best Revival of a Musical. Scott Ellis returns to helm this new production, boasting a cast that includes Laura Benanti, Zachary Levi, Renee Auberjonois, Jane Krakowski, and Gavin Creel. Gavin Creel originated the role of Jimmy in Thoroughly Modern Millie, got it good. What do I need with love? For which he earned a Tony nomination. He played Claude in the 2009 revival of Hair. I got life, mother. I got laughs, sister. I got freedom, brother. I got good times, man. Earning another Tony nomination. He is currently playing Elder Price in the Book of Mormon. Gavin Creel will play Stephen Kodai in She Loves Me for Roundabout and has a history with the show.
My first interaction with She Loves Me was in college. I went to the University of Michigan and studied musical theater there. Obviously, I'd heard of Fiddler on the Roof, but I didn't know much about that even, and I didn't know. We studied Sheldon Harnick in depth in college. Like, we spent like a semester as freshmen reading his lyrics and learning about him and falling in love with him and his work. And obviously, Jerry Bach and expanded from there. I actually played the part I'm playing in She Loves Me on Broadway once before when I was 20 in college. We did a summer stock sort of grassroots theater production of it, and I got the chance to don the cap of Stephen Kodai.
How did this production come to your plate?
You know, it's funny. Jim Carnahan, the casting director at the Roundabout and brilliant casting director of a million other productions, texted me while I was off work in I was in Michigan with my friend and voice teacher, Melody Racine, and I got this text from Jim, and it said, "Will you save us and do this reading because they need somebody to play Kodai?" And I was like, "Are you kidding? Yeah, of course. I love the show. I love the part." Next thing you know, about a month later, we were in rehearsals, and then we did this wonderful reading. It was such a great experience.
How much of the cast has rolled over from that reading?
A lot of us have come over. We've lost a few people to different projects and things, but our loss is also our infinite gain because we've got Zachary Levi and the amazing Laura Benanti coming on board, and Renee playing Mr. Marichek. I'm so excited that Jane and I get to be opposite each other again because I love her. And I had such fun with her in the reading, and we've worked together before on a couple little things. So she's just, and I'm obsessed with 30 Rock. Right now I'm like diving into a 30 Rock coma. I can't stop watching it. And she's just a master of comedy and musical comedy especially. It's so great to have her back on stage.
Have you watched The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt yet?
Yeah. And what's neat is, like, Jane brings what Jane brings to all the stuff I've seen her do. And I, you know, followed her since she was Flemishin in Grand Hotel, and listening to her, I never got to see her do it. But she has, like, a singular quirk and beauty to her. She's obviously stunningly beautiful, but she's, like, not afraid to be quirky and funny and wild. And I'm just going to try to match her as much as I can. I won't, but I'll try.
You are very good to speak with me about this show now because it's not happening right yet.
Yeah,
it starts previews in February. So when do rehearsals begin?
We begin right after the first of the year. I'm actually in the Book of Mormon until January 3rd, and we start rehearsals January 5th, so I get one day off. So thank God for that. We start in January, and it's a very normal Broadway schedule. It's great, like old school Broadway schedule. We do, I think it's about 4 weeks of rehearsal, and then we'll have a couple weeks of tech, about a month of previews, and then we open. The show itself is so perfectly written. It's such a beautifully written piece. It's like this gem, this little music box of a musical that is romantic and funny and expertly crafted that makes you sort of yearn for a time of writing like this to be more present. I think it's really easy for us to romanticize, oh, they don't write like they used to. Well, if we were paying attention to the canon of musical theater for the 30 years that we truncate into a great statement of we miss the great oldies, there was a lot of crap in there too, you know?
Right.
And it's just nice that the great works like She Loves Me bubble to the top and people want to see it and do it again. And to have Scott Ellis, oh my gosh, to have him directing it and reimagining his original revival from the almost over 20 years ago, to get back in the room and have that willingness to like open it up and try it and re-explore it, I'm excited to do that with him.
Have you worked with Scott before?
We did just the reading.
Right.
I did a few readings of Curtains, or maybe one or two, I can't remember, of Curtains ages ago when I first got to the city. I loved working with him, but it was so brief and I had a really small part. And my favorite play of all time is You Can't Take It With You. And I watched his just resplendent revival on Broadway. I loved it. I loved the cast. I loved everything about it. So, you know, this has that same exuberance and joy, but in musical form. So I'm excited to see what his take is.
Because you are an actor, when you love a show, do you wish you were in the show, or can you watch and enjoy from the audience reasonably well?
That's a great question. I like to write, I like to direct, I like to act, so I don't have just one hat on, like I'm only an actor, and I usually am able to switch the hat off and just be an audience member, but there are times when I see, I mean, for example, and I sound like such a cliche even mentioning the word and good in the same sentence, but I saw Hamilton off Broadway, and I know Lynn well, and I did a reading of, I played King George in one of the first readings, I think the first public sharing of it.
Of course you did. I can totally see that.
It was so awesome. It was so much fun, and I had no idea what it was, and I stood and I watched that, and then I went and saw the first opening night off Broadway, and I was humbled beyond recognition. I just walked out into the lobby, and I was like, I should just quit. I should just stop. I mean, what do I think I'm fooling? Like, yeah, this is such a level of brilliance that hasn't been seen since the great musicals like She Loves Me, or even Hair in its own way, or The Book of Mormon, certainly The Book of Mormon. You know, they bubble to the surface, these brilliant pieces, and Lynn has created one that will be in brilliantly placed in the canon of musical theater, like rightfully placed. Oh my gosh, love it so much.
I have to note for friends and listeners who hear this that you brought up Hamilton. I didn't,
oh, yes,
for the first time, okay, in a long,
okay,
time.
Yes, listeners,
bring up Hamilton.
It is all me. And once you see it, you too will start your own radio show and start talking about it. I'm with you. You and I can both healthily obsess.
So you mentioned you're in Book of Mormon now. You did it in London. You won an Olivier Award. You've done it on tour.
Yeah, I did. I actually started with the show in 2012 when they were doing the first national tour and they hadn't put any productions out. And Scott Rudin and Garofino, our amazing lead producers, were both reached out to me through Casey Nicola, who's a dear friend and the director, choreographer, co-director and choreographer. And I was terrified of it. I was like, oh, God, I don't think I can do that because it's such a hard show. And Andrew was a great friend of mine. I've known him for 15 years. And I was like, that's him. That's it. And I'm so glad that they talked me into it and got me involved because it's just changed my life in a million ways. But comedy, like being able to get on stage, I've never really played a part like this where you get to get up on stage and have the courage and the conviction to be like a straight up, straight character that also is like deeply comedic. And it's making me a better actor. And it's nice when a show surprises you like that. So I did the national tour. And then after the national tour, while I was on the national tour, I thought I was going to be doing it for a year, and that was it. And they called and said, would you be willing to originate the role with Jerry Gertner, who was my co-star at the time, in London? And I had done two shows in London, Mary Poppins and Hair, and I was like, yeah, I love that town. I love those people. So I went over and originated the role there and did it for a year and a half. I thought I was just going to be there for a year. And then I asked the producer, I asked Anne, I really want to play this part on Broadway. I'd like to finish my journey there. And I said, is there any possibility I could do it? And she said, give me a second. And we worked it out. So I've had the great good fortune of, it's been a long journey, but I still love doing it. I'm still trying to find new stuff. It's been pretty much 3.5 years straight. it's a long time to be in a musical, especially when we have to sing so high and so loud and so much.
How is theater in London different from theater in New York City?
It's a question so many people ask, and it's the easiest way I can explain it is, well, you know, I've never said this, so I think I'll say this as the answer.
Ooh.
The musical comedy, musical theater is ultimately an American art form. They had the music, like the birth of musical theater for us came from, I don't know, a bunch of things. But we certainly were creating the art form here in America. And also vaudeville was a reality, and it, burlesque and vaudeville and all this stuff sort of bled into, I think, the development of it. And people's eyes and ears were attuned to what they could see and hear on stage. And over there was music hall, certainly. And I think they're also at the same time sort of inventing their own brand of, I mean, geez, the 80s was dominated by these massive British mega musicals, and they still are around and dominating. That's, from an artistic standpoint, I think it varies a bit about what you expect to see. I mean, Book of Mormon looks the same on stage in London as it does here, because that's what you do when you want to see Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis. It needs to live and breathe the same. But I think audiences are different. They listen a lot more there. They may not be as demonstrative as we are as Americans. We're louder and more obnoxious, maybe. It's certainly sometimes more satisfying as an actor on stage because you think they're not with you because they're listening so well, but then the end of the play, they explode. Mm-hmm. And then off stage is very different. The way the crew and the stage management, those are very different. How we've got Local One and these major unions and stuff here that the grandfather's grandfather pulled the same curtain at the theater. There's this ingrained family union backstage experience that over there, frankly, they don't make enough money to do the work that they do. They're working just as hard as us, if not harder. And they've got like 2 and 3 extra jobs to try to make ends meet. Hopefully they'll make, you know, the unions over there will grow and producers will understand that you can't live on £500 a week and be in the ensemble. It's not enough money.
You are a member of the Broadway Inspirational Voices Choir.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about that.
They have a Christmas concert this year, December 14th. Oh gosh, look up BroadwayInspirationalVoices.org. I'm blanking on where it's playing. But I'm so proud to be in the choir. Michael McElroy, who's a god in the theater, and he's now a professor at NYU and still performing and everything. He asked me when I was doing a workshop of Spring Awakening, actually, with Jim Carnahan Caspian. It's full circle at the roundabout. Mm-hmm. And he played a character that's not in the play anymore called the Masked Man, who sort of narrated the whole. I think it was the Masked Man might have been in the actual Wiedekind original play, or maybe it was a device that Steven Seder came up with. Anyway, I met Michael, and he was like, do you think you might want to be a part of the choir? And I had seen the choir when I first moved to the city, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I would love it. And I've been with the choir since then, since 2000.
What does the choir do? For people who have not heard of them at all, what is the story there?
Our mission is, we're a choir of artists from the Broadway community gathering together with the joy and love of changing and affecting lives through music and service. So the choir examines music. Some of it is faith-based. Some of it is Broadway music. Some of it is pop music arranged in a gospel style of members who are all different denominations, beliefs, sexual orientations, races, that come together for the love of singing as a group. And a lot of us, when I saw this choir the first time, there was Alice Ripley up there and Billy Porter up there and Norm Lewis up there and these major Broadway luminaries to me. And then all these other people who are fierce singers who I didn't even know and now are beautiful family friends of mine. It's just the most amazing sound from a group of people who have a love of theater and music and singing in choirs. And we're changing and growing and expanding nationally, internationally. It's really exciting where we're going.
You're also the co-founder of Broadway Impact.
Yeah. I'm proud to say that Broadway Impact is done.
Less necessary.
It's done. Yeah. We examined. Broadway Impact was founded at a time in 2008 when Proposition 8 was passed on the same day that Barack Obama was elected, and we thought, how can this nation elect its first African-American president and on the same day vote in discrimination? It seemed they didn't coincide. It didn't seem like the same country. And we realized we have to stand up as a community of Broadway performers, and we need to come together and fight for marriage equality. And we did so since 2008, and we collaborated with Dustin Lance Black to and the American Foundation for Equal Rights to create a play called Eight.
I was in a reading of that at Williamstown. I was the journalist.
Were you really? Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, we were so proud to, that was Rory O'Malley's idea. He took it to the American Foundation for Equal Rights, and we collaborated with Lance and Rory O'Malley and Jenny Canellos, who was our executive director the entire time, and I grew it and grassrooted it and got our theater community involved. We sent 25 buses to the National Equality March with 1,500 different marchers to march on Washington to demand equality, and we may not have been as effective as the equal rights heroes like David Mixner and Cleve Jones and Lance Black, but we had a hand in it. And why we, I don't mean the three of us, I mean the Broadway community stood up and phone banked and did plays and used the power of influence to write our senators and our congresspeople and say, you have to recognize gay and lesbian equality. So there's a lot more work to be done, and there's a lot of discrimination and ugly out there, but screw those people, because we have the law on our side now, so they can shut up.
Gavin Creel will play Stephen Kodai in the Roundabout Theater Company revival of She Loves Me, which begins performances at Studio 54 early next year. To learn more, visit roundabouttheater.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.